Joining us on the phone on Static this evening, it is so great to have Amanda from Wax Chattels. How's things?
Things are really good. Thank you so much for calling.
It's good to hear from Wax Chattels. And you guys, you know, the world is your oyster right now, Amanda. You're taking the band of the Northern Hemisphere, so it must be a pretty exciting time.
Yeah, we're really excited. Just got our US visas very recently, just in time to go on our own properly.
And I'm guessing also you guys in Wax Chattels must travel light because there's only one keyboard, one bass guitar and a two-piece drum kit, right? So it's pretty easy to book international flights?
Yeah, we've managed to do just one check piece of luggage per person, and we're kind of all going to be sharing a suitcase, so that'll be fun.
Is there a lot of pedals, or are you jettisoning a few for international travel?
I'm not losing any pedals, actually, so that's my handheld luggage. It's a touch heavier than 7 kilos, but I just like walk through pretending it's light.
It's your acting comes into play, doesn't it? You pretend it's really light when you walk through the airport check-in.
Yeah, I it's just a black pedal case, and it's like, you know, hand luggage size, but I just hope they never weigh it, basically.
Well, Godspeed, I hope it works. And for a band that only released its debut single around 12 months ago, things are moving pretty fast, aren't they? I mean, fate seems to have been on your side, because it's almost legend already now that Wax Chattels happened to play an Auckland show in September last year, when Mike from Captured Tracks was in town and he was there with the Flying Nun folks. And did they really all sign you on the spot, Amanda?
Yeah, basically, I mean, obviously we didn't do any paper signing on the spot, but Mike was, he actually had a DJ set like 10 minutes into our set. So we like recorded a couple of songs and disappeared into the crowd. And we thought, oh no, that's the last we ever see or hear of them. And then woke up the next morning and to these emails being like, have coffee with me, and turn into like having lunch with him and Ben from Flying Nun, and it just sort of went from 0 to 100 real quick.
Must have been a good gig.
Oh, we had a lot of fun. To be honest, like, we try to play well every time, so hopefully it'll be a consistent run. In my memory, that wasn't like we did anything too special that night, but obviously special enough.
Well, it's pretty special as well to have hooked up with Flying Nun at home. I mean, I guess that's still the vanguard of representing New Zealand music. Was that something you guys in Wax Chattels had thought about, or was it all a genuine run of luck there?
I guess it's just genuinely like one of those right place, right time, right people situations. Definitely a massive dream come true for us. Early on in the band, when we first started out, we were having a yarn one night being like, oh, you know, if we ever want to try and get signed, who's your dream label sort of thing? And, you know, it's like when Peter's dream to be a Flying Nun band, and actually like Captured Tracks was my dream label, so it's kind of worked out stupidly well for us. It's beyond amazing.
People tend to pigeonhole Flying Nun as the home of jangly rock, but they actually have a great history of signing noise pop, from bands like the Mint Chicks to Die 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 and more, so Wax Chattels feels like a good fit.
Yeah, I guess maybe just because the jangly stuff is the original sort of wave of well-known Flying Nun band, so I guess that got cemented, and then after that maybe, you know, like the direction has changed, but they sort of made their name on the more jangly stuff, I guess.
Well, let Wax Chattels change that. Let you be their new chills.
I'm not jangly at all.
Wax Chattels wasn't the first band for the three of you either, is that right, Amanda? Because you all had played in other groups and you actually met while studying jazz performance at the Uni of Auckland, which sounds very auspicious.
I've never played with Tom directly, but Peter and Tom were in a jazz combo at uni as, you know, part of the compulsory groups that you have to play together in. But yeah, we all became friends and knew each other through jazz school and kind of split ways forever and met back up and thought they'd, you know, do something together.
And so had you all trained as jazz players?
Yep. Tom trained as a jazz drummer and I studied bass. I did electric and upright, but I've kind of ditched the big thing. And Peter actually did his jazz degree on saxophone, but as you can hear, a proficient key player as well.
Well, I was wondering if there might be a future for some skronk in Wax Chattels down the line. Has he mentioned it yet?
No, I think we'll just keep our instrumentation as is for now.
Well, it seems, Amanda, that you've learned to spread via those three instruments pretty well. I mean, when you listen to the record, there's a lot of things that probably don't sound like the three instruments that you play. And even a track like NRG has that great Doors-style organ vibe out of the keyboard. So you've kind of learnt to work with what you've limited yourselves to as well, right?
Mm. I guess that limitation has been really great in the sense that by limiting what you have, it takes a lot of indecision out of the game. You're just sort of like, what can I do with these three instruments and what pedals have we got and what combination we can get out of it? And then we focus on more like arrangement and performance as opposed to like what extra sounds we can do, I guess. But I think we've got a wide variety of sounds given the limited instrumentation.
Wax Chattels also arrived with a manifesto, guitarless guitar music. Did the motto come first, Amanda, or was that after you realised you didn't have a guitarist?
It came along kind of as a bit of a joke in the sense that if you think about guitar music, that's kind of the sound you sort of make. If you think about, you know, that type of genre is usually made with guitars. And we actually did discuss whether one of me or Peter was going to play guitar, and we just ended up not having a guitar. So it was a bit of a joke to start with, but it's really stuck, and I think it helps to describe to people what we might sound like.
I thought it might have also been so you don't alienate the rock meatheads, so they go, oh, well, it's still going to sound like a guitar band if I go see them.
Yeah, I guess if you say it's an organ trio, people are like, oh, what's that going to sound like? In a way, maybe.
You just tell them to picture the guitars in their mind, do you?
Someone has said, like, oh, isn't a bass guitar a guitar? And I'm like, I just think of it as a bass. It's not a bass guitar to me, but maybe that's because I played the upright for so long as well. It's not really a guitar.
That's just getting bogged down in semantics. You stick with what you've got.
Yeah.
You also kept some urgency by recording the album in just a couple of days. Was that, again, by design? Did you kind of want to limit yourselves in terms of how quickly and how efficiently you could get this record done?
Yeah. That was totally not by design, but I guess it worked out. So basically, Tom, our drummer, had a really sweet gig coming up to go teach in China, in Guangzhou, teach drums for 3 months. And we thought, oh no, if we don't like lay down the tracks now before he goes, everything's pushed back by 3 months. So, you know, like recording is really the starting point. Then you have to do, you know, put in the vocals and then get it mixed and all these things over the top. So we really like, we're just like, oh no, we can't have everything pushed back by 3 months. What are we going to do? So that's just sort of fate, I guess, not design.
And you all rose to the occasion. It still sounds like a very live record, but I guess that's probably part of the charm as well.
Yeah, we tracked all of the foundations of the songs live in a really small room with the three of us over 2 evenings. Like, we wanted to make that live sound on record. We didn't want it to sound like a completely different band.
And Amanda, is the anger easier to get across via your instruments when the song subject matters are also intense? Your song, It, on the album is an ode to female sexual empowerment. And on the flip side, Shrinkage is almost a takedown of male sexual bravado. So is it kind of good for you to have something to sing about with passion while you're playing with passion?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we didn't sit down and think too much about subject matter, but I guess the things that we wanted an outlet for musically just turned out to be quite passionate, I guess, or quite intense themes. And so it's quite easy to convey as a live show, I guess, because you really have to bring the energy, otherwise it'll fall flat. Like, you can't really deliver that half-assed, it just sounds so stupid.
And a song like Facebook is an indictment of living through social media technology, so I guess it's safe to say you guys won't be invited to Mark Zuckerberg's house when you tour San Francisco.
Oh, I think he's just genuinely hiding from the public now, isn't he, after all the recent privacy breaches anyway?
Nice to see Wax Chattels going after the fat cats. Well, it's exciting to think that you guys are taking this on the road across the world. Of course, we're only over the pond, so I'm hoping that there's some Australian dates.
Coming soon, in the works.
In the works, all right. Well, don't forget us. It'd be great to see the show live. For now, we might have a listen to Shrinkage off of the record. It was great to get you on the phone, Amanda. Look after each other on the road, and good luck with airport security. I'll be praying for you.
No, thank you so much. Yeah, they make me open that pillowcase.
Maybe you can wear your pedals as a hat or something. You'll work it out by the time you get back.
Thanks.
All right, this is Shrinkage from Wax Chattels now on Static. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you so much.
I am the worm in the apple.